Every year, call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour, hour number three here on this Friday, August 14, 2026 edition. Joining us on the line right now is a former Attorney General candidate, Kevin Kieske. He's also a Birmingham attorney, and we're going to talk about this lawsuit that he filed this week. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Trucker. How are you?
Good, sir. The Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, who's running for governor, started putting out some administrative rules in October, I believe, March, again in May, as to how the clerks in the state of Michigan are supposed to handle this election of which she's running for governor on November 3rd. I want you to explain the JCAR administrative hearing process and how the rules can basically become the full effect of laws here in the state of Michigan.
Sure. So for those folks that are not familiar with the acronym, JCAR is a Joint Committee on Administrative Rules. This is essentially a body within the legislature that hears things from executive departments like the Secretary of State, where they want to have an administrative rule, which is not a statute, but it's a rule. And then if it passes through JCAR, then it becomes an administrative rule. But there's a problem with JCAR. With JCAR, if there is not a quorum or if there is a tie, then that particular rule that is being proposed by the force of law becomes an administrative rule. And far too often that has happened, because when we take a look at this, JCAR is made by an equal amount of Republican legislators and Democrat legislators. So a lot of these rules get by on that basis, where there is not a quorum or there is basically a tie, and then it just becomes the law. And that's a problem, as you're going to see, or your listeners will see, when we talk about a few of these administrative rules.
Well, some of them was very, you know, concerning to these clerks, because one of them specifically says that after the election is certified by the State Board of Canvassers, which I believe is going to take place this coming Monday, they then certified the elections after the county board of canvassers just finished, many of them, their canvassing certification signed by the county clerks. Victoria Bishop just signed hers yesterday afternoon because of the military votes that were outstanding. They send those to the Secretary of State. They go to the State Board of Canvassers. They certify the election. Well, one of the rules Benson's put out, she wants the clerks to completely erase, basically, the August 4th primary election from their poll books, from their election instruments, their data collection systems in preparation for November 3rd. But then, most importantly, Kevin, she wants the same thing done again after the November election is certified. Explain that process.
Yeah, so the rule that you're talking about is 168.48. Essentially, it requires within 7 days, as you said, of the certification of the vote, that all the electronic poll books are destroyed. And just for your listeners out there, the electronic poll book is basically the laptop that you see at your precinct. So when you walk in, you give your name, they check you in. That's the poll book. It records who checked in, when, and on what device. And when there's a federal race on the ballot, and here's the problem, just like we had on August 4th, where we had a U.S. Senate primary and every single U.S. House seat, federal law says you have to maintain those records for a period of 22 months. So the issue here in this particular lawsuit, which we'll get into in a moment, where I'm representing a clerk, is which crime do I commit? Which law do I break? Do I maintain everything for 22 months according to federal law, but then be subjected to a state misdemeanor of 90 days? or do I break the federal law? And you can actually be in prison for up to 1 year in federal prison, in addition to paying a fine. It's the sword of Damocles, as I like to talk about it. I'm not trying to be all, like, you know, historical with ancient Greece stuff, but you have this sword over your head. And it's like, you don't want to have that fall. And which are you going to do? You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. So I represent Michelle McQueer, who is the Bridgewater Township Clerk out of Washtenaw. And she basically said, I need some help with this. And I said, what's going on? She said, well, you know, taking a look at July 6th, I reached out to the Secretary of State, and I asked for clarification on this. Like, what do I do? And you know what response she got? Nothing. They said nothing to her. And by the way, July 6th was 39 days ago and still nothing. So that's why she retained me and said, can we do something about this? I'm like, absolutely. So we filed a lawsuit in the Court of Claims, and we did that 2 days ago. And then even yesterday, not even 24 hours later, the judge in the Court of Claims came back and said, okay, time out, guys. These records are not going to be destroyed until we actually have full briefing on the issue. And the last thing I'll say is the judge actually put us on an expedited track, meaning that it's not going to take months and months and months. This will probably get resolved completely in the month of August, this month, which is good because we shouldn't have any clerk, my client Michelle McQueer, or any clerk, there's almost like 1,600 across the state, have to face this draconian choice. Who am I going to obey? That's not the right thing to do.
And on that point, Kevin, this is a rule that would basically, if left in standing, could basically jeopardize the ability to do either a recount or a forensic audit. If the election comes down to being very tight, I mean, look, for example, the U.S. Senate Democrat primary between Haley Stevens and Abdul Rahman Mohammed El-Sayed, it was less than one percentage point. Technically, you could demand, if Haley Stevens wanted to, she could demand a recount and a complete forensic audit. If those records are deleted this next week, there's no way Haley Stevens could even do that.
Right. And it's not about political party, as you noted. We need to preserve and maintain records, not just to abide by the federal law, but to ensure that there's a level of transparency there. And I think this is also a very important thing to note. So if we look at the, and I want to be intellectually honest, there are exceptions within the current administrative rule for recounts and things like that, right? They do exist. But what happens if you have someone other than a candidate, maybe like, I don't know, a court, or maybe the federal government, or someone to say, you know what, the election was certified, whatever, fine, but we still want to look in this data. Now it's not going to be available. One thing that the state has said, and I anticipate that they will say it in this case, is that, oh, well, the rule mandates that the electronic data that matters, and that's the key phrase, that matters, is uploaded to the QVF or uploaded to Lansing in their database. The problem is we know not all of the material important data is uploaded. How do we know that? I mean, folks can take a look at the lawsuit. Take a look at Exhibit 7 in that 156-page filing. The Secretary of State said herself through her people that there are actually a number of different relevant data points that are not uploaded to the QVF. So it's really, really troublesome. We don't want to have Michelle, my client, violate the law, but we also want to ensure that for posterity's sake, the record, the complete unadulterated record, is maintained. And that's what this lawsuit's all about.
Well, the bottom line that I'm looking at is, like you said in the lawsuit, do these clerks violate federal election laws, or do they violate state law only because it's become, from an administrative rule, the full effect of law because of the process? I think this is something the judge is going to have to make sure he addresses, and I hope you ask for that guidance or opinion from the judge, he's got to decide whether these JCAR hearings are even constitutional. I don't see how bureaucratic agencies and departments can come up with these rules, and just because the legislators acquiesce and don't fight it or argue about it and cast a vote properly, where it's so partisan, Kevin, how can these rules by these department heads become basically a full effect of law? I think that should be a question the judge has to give an opinion on as well.
Well, to quickly comment on that and to be intellectually honest, that's not something that's being challenged in this lawsuit, but I agree that it's problematic how these rules can actually get passed. That's more of an issue I would maintain for the legislature, and that's why it's important whether we're looking at the state house and we maintain majority there on the Republican side, or in the Senate, if that could be retaken as well by the Republicans so that we can actually change it. These administrative rule hearings or JCAR hearings, they actually were created a long time ago under the Engler administration. And that's been the, you know, quote unquote, law of the land, how they operate
right.
for a long time.
Long time.
But a long time. And I don't know how much more time we have, but one important thing to note, which we have not discussed, is count three in the complaint. Apart from the whole which law do I obey thing, that's counts one and two. We actually see that the Administrative Procedures Act basically outlines how these rules get created. It wasn't even followed in the creation of 168.48, because you have to actually give notice and publication, like in newspapers and things like that, what's going to happen. And you know what that notice said? It said about how there's going to be a live upload to the QVF. It said nothing about deletion. So it was sort of like a switcheroo what happened. And that's why when this rule was passed, there was absolutely no public comment live. And there were only two written comments. And you know what those written comments were about? They were about the live uploads. It had nothing to do at all about deletion. Why? Because it was never publicized. So that's another way to strike this down, apart from the supremacy clause and basically when, which rule I have to obey.
When do you expect the judge to set the first hearing?
So we have a post.
Real quick, about 20 seconds.
Yeah, so the actual government needs to file a response by August 20th. Then I have to file my response to that response, a reply, essentially
Very
taking
good.
A look at what I think the following
Very
Monday.
Good. Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Kevin. We'll let you get back to work. Thanks for coming on the show.
You got it. Let's make Michigan safe again.
Final segment of today's show. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about the major systems in our bodies, like the digestive, respiratory, nervous, and cardiovascular systems. But there's one essential system discovered in the 90s that you probably never heard of. It makes all of the other systems work smoothly with each other, like a conductor ensuring the different sections of an orchestra all play a beautiful symphony together. This system is called the endocannabinoid system. It has been acknowledged and studied by scientists extensively with support from the National Institutes of Health. As we age, the system weakens. As a result, the different systems in our body stop working together smoothly. That's one of the reasons older adults struggle with pain, inflammation, cognitive decline, and other ailments of aging, for which doctors often prescribe dangerous and addictive pharmaceuticals. But here's the game changer. The system can be restored faster using hemp-derived CBD. When the system is restored, pain subsides, sleep is improved, and stress is reduced. When the system is restored, disease progression can slow down, and years are added to your life, as well as years spent in good health. And 20% of seniors are already using CBD today for pain, arthritis, cancer symptoms, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's, and many other ailments of aging.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877 877- 830-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion today. Just my final thoughts as to what Kevin Kieski was saying. The lawsuit filed with a plaintiff of a township clerk, Michelle McQuire, Bridgewater Township, Washtenaw County. Good friends with Phyllis, one of our longtime listeners. She's caught in a predicament, as are all the other 1,573 municipal city village clerks in the state of Michigan, if they follow Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson's administrative rules, which, because they were not challenged at the JCAR hearing, take full effect of being Michigan law, unless they're challenged in court, which is what Kevin Kieski and Michelle did this week. The reason for it is because Mike Rogers was on the ballot for the Republicans for U.S. Senate. On the Democrat side, it was Haley Stevens and Abdul Rahman Mohammed El Sayed. That is a federal office. U.S. Senator was on the ballot on August 4th. Also on August 4th was every single one of our U.S. congressmen. They're up every 2 years. Jack Bergman, our congressman, was on the ballot. Justin Michael, Matthew Denotter, they had a primary. Bergman won the primary. It's a federal office in Washington, D.C., U.S. House of Representatives. Therefore, technically, it was a federal election. Well, folks, federal election laws say clerks must keep intact their poll book data for 22 months following an election. You cannot delete those records for 22 months. If you do, you're violating federal statute, facing felony charges, 1 year in prison. So if you keep the records, so you're not violating federal law, you're now going to be facing a misdemeanor under Benson's law. So what do these poor clerks do? Do you want to go to prison with a felony, or do you want to go to and commit a misdemeanor and 90 days in jail in the state of Michigan? This is the entire basis of this lawsuit. But more importantly, it shows us something. And this is the part I wanted you guys to get and understand and share this with everybody you know. This Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson and her director, Bureau of Elections, Jonathan Brader, do not want full transparency in this election, either the August 4th primary or the most importantly, November 3rd general election. Now that she's officially the candidate running for governor and John James is officially the Republican running for governor, if this race is close, much like Stevens versus Al-Sayed for Democrats on the U.S. Senate primary, there's going to be a recount. There is going to be forensic audits, chain of custody, poll book data. How did people vote? 45 days early absentee, 9 days early in person, or did they vote on November 3rd? Not just the results, but the methodology behind all of it. Was people's ID checked in when they wrote out that application for a ballot? Were they checked in the poll book to verify their signatures matched on their driver's license, on the application for a ballot, and also in the poll book when they registered to vote? Did those three signature checks take place? If you follow Benson's laws in how you administer this election, there's no proof of it within 7 days after the Board of Canvassers certify the election. That election goes away. You got to ask yourself a very simple question, people. Why does Jocelyn Benson want the elections erased 7 days after they're certified when she's running for governor? If she truly believes that this will be the most safe and secure election we've ever had in the history of our state, which is what she said about the August 4th primary just a week ago Tuesday, why does she want rules in place that will prevent us from having full transparency for the next 22 months? Why would she want that evidence? Why would she want that proof to be deleted? Something smells, and this is exactly why Kevin Kievsky was retained by Bridgewater Township Clerk Michelle McQueer, Washtenaw County. Kevin, she went to him. What do I do? I need help. So do all the other clerks in the whole state of Michigan. Michelle's the only one with the backbone to actually retain an attorney and file a lawsuit as the plaintiff. God bless Michelle. Godspeed to Kevin Kievsky in his arguments. That's it for this week. Now back to the memories caused by the music of the 60s, 70s, Motown, the Ritz of Rock and Roll on 97.7 FM, WCHY Sheboygan, and the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Have a great weekend. God willing, we'll see you on Monday at 9 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robust